No.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
Sorry about the blasphemy. Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd in all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name's Jesse. And today, we're kicking off March with a little vampire dissolution of love story.
Yeah.
Jacob's wife. So we're really excited about this one. I've been wanting to cover it for a while. It was a joy to rewatch it last night, and I'm pretty excited to talk about it. But first of all, we've got some very important announcements. Beginning March, we have decided that we wanted to lower the barrier for entry to our Patreon because we are having fun with some of the stuff we're doing over there and we want more bubbies to be able to come join it. So our Frederick tier is still $1 and all the perks still remain the same, but our Bughead tier is now $3 and also includes a vote for the Patreon pick each month. And the budget tier is now $6 and also includes a monthly sticker mailed to your home featuring the cover art from our monthly franchise coverage. So for example, in February, stickers have gone out for the Saw 3D art, and then this month it will be the Jigsaw art.
Yeah.
Cover art will be sent out.
Yeah.
So once again, the link to our Patreon is at the very bottom of our show notes. Just scroll all the way down to the bottom of whatever you're listening this on, and you'll find a link to our Patreon.
Yeah, we're excited. We look forward to maybe having some more of you guys come visit.
Yeah.
We got some fun stuff there.
I think that's all I have in terms of announcements. Do you have poll results?
I have poll results.
Okay.
Okay.
Travis named some of them, and some of them are from the wiki.
One of them, I did change the name for two of them. Okay. All right, so these are our poll results. This is all based off of last week's movie, which was Saw 3D, the final chapter. And as always, for all of our Saw movies, we wanted to ask which trap you would survive.
Mm-hmm.
Only can do four traps, because that's the limit for doing polls online.
Yeah, so we don't make the rules, folks.
We had to be selective with them. So the four that we had are the public breakup trap, which is from the very beginning, obviously.
Yeah, and that one's actually apparently officially called the public execution.
Yeah, I don't really like that one. See, that's the change that I made because I just felt like it needed adjusted because
they're breaking up with her, Dina.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a public breakup. That's the whole point of it. Next one, the Chester Bennington one, is the horsepower trap.
Chester Bennington. One of these days you will get his name correct.
I'll never get it right. No, man.
You know what? We used to say that about Creedence Clearwater Revival. And look at you.
I'm still fucking that up.
Yeah, but sometimes you get it right.
I have to think really hard about it too. Like, I don't want to, like, anytime I'm talking about Linkin Park, have to stop and, like, you can see the clocks turning in my head.
Is it better to just call him Lester Bennington and hope it's right?
I just call him Linkin Park. He represents the entire band. I don't know any. Nobody knows the other members of the band.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Maybe they do. I don't know. There's just a lot of diehard Linkin Park fans out there.
Anyway, it's the horsepower trap?
The horsepower trap. Yeah. So that one, you know, obviously. Okay. Next up, the silent circle. That is the official name for that one. I like that name. I think that that's a really cool name.
I liked my silent fish hook.
That's a
Jackass
good one too.
Titling. I think that's a little bit more fun.
That one's pretty good too. And the tit chains one.
The tit chains one.
Because they didn't actually have that one listed. They had it listed as Bobby's Trial, so it was all of his shit.
That just also sounds like the name of the like original music composition for like the instrumental music that's playing in the background. Bobby's Trial.
I thought you were gonna say the tit chains. It's like, you sure?
I mean, Charlie Clouser does do all of the song music, so
can you imagine like going through the soundtrack? Okay, all right, the opening song, da da da, that's the name of this song, and then tit chains.
Charles. What is this about the tit chains? Do we need to play it with tit chains?
It's like, look, Chester requested it. We call it the tit chains. He's not even in the scene, but he requested it.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get going through this. So on Instagram, 38% would survive the public breakup, 12% would survive the horsepower trap, 38% the silent circle, and 12% the tit chains one. So it's like tied for both of them.
Okay.
Over on Twitter, 50% the public breakup trap.
Okay.
Nobody's making out of the horsepower trap.
They know. 25. You know what? Because on Twitter, nobody's like, they're like, hey, you've curated the good corner of Twitter and there aren't racists over here. So we're just not going to wind up in this trap in the first place.
Yeah.
Not implicating anybody on Instagram.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
The Silent Circle, 25%, and 25% the Tit Chains one. And then also over on Threads,
oh,
we have a vote.
Oh, boy.
And it's 100% the Silent Circle.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I said I would beat last time.
I think, you know, I don't fucking know what you
said. Did we actually talk about it?
We did, because I said I would do the public breakup one, which I could still
I think
rock.
I mostly just agreed with you that that's a good plan for it.
No, I think I recall you doing another part of Bobby's trial, which was the swinging on over the spikes.
Oh, yeah, because I also played some DK Country.
Yeah, it was something along those lines. So, yeah, that was our poll. Public breakup seems to be the most winnable, beatable trap. Okay. All right, so that's it.
The people have spoken.
Let's move on over to Jacob's Wife.
All right.
So what do you got for us?
All right. Well, Jacob's Wife premiered March 17th, 2021 at South by Southwest Film Festival. So happy almost birthday, Jacob's Wife.
Wow.
It had a wide release. And by wide release, I mean release to video on demand. Mm-hmm. On April 16th, 2021. I'm assuming that's what I meant to write. That's not what I wrote. We watched it on Shudder because that's where it's streaming. It's currently a Shudder exclusive.
Yeah.
If you have one of the other apps that has the Shudder like add-on, so if you like AMC Plus Premium, you know, with the
like
Shudder,
showing that.
Then you can watch it that way, but it's because you have the Shudder. Okay. This was written by Mark Steensberg, Kathy Charles, and Travis Stevens, directed by Travis Stevens. Music by Tara Bush and special effects makeup by Marcus Cook and Jesse Seitz.
Okay.
Starring Barbara Crampton as Ann Fetter, Larry Fessenden as Jacob Fetter, and Bonnie Arians as the Master. All right, Travis. It's time for our favorite game.
Budget or Buckthead? This feels like a Bucktead movie. It doesn't feel like they had a whole lot of money.
That's accurate. Yeah. I don't actually have the number.
I didn't think you would. Something told me about, like, just watching this one, I was like, I don't think that there's a budget listed for this.
I did read an interview with Barbara Crampton, and obviously I'll go over that a little bit more, where she said at one point they were just trying to get just 20,000 more. So,
oh, really? Okay, yeah. So then they were really struggling.
Yeah. Opening box office, if you will, of 27,500 and a worldwide gross of 47,700.
Okay.
And an IMDb score of 5.5 out of 10. I'm just going to say it now. Rude.
That's kind of surprising. Yeah, I thought that would have been a lot higher.
I do have 3 movies from 2021.
Okay.
And they all have themes or undertones relating to religion or the occult.
All right. I'm curious. I thought it was going to be vampires, but...
Well, I don't know how many vampire movies were released in 2021, so I broadened it a little bit.
That's probably for the best.
So the first one is The Unholy. That was released April 2nd, 2021. Couldn't find a budget for it, but it does have a worldwide gross of 30.8 million and an IMDb score of 5.1 out of 10.
Wow. I don't think I even know what that movie is.
I've seen the poster. I couldn't tell you anything about it. I did read a brief synopsis of it because I was curious. And apparently a little girl is blind, but then she starts getting visions from Mother Teresa.
What?
So...
Okay.
I don't know. That's if IMDb is to be believed.
They could have cast the girl from Scream Queens that's doing cooking shows because she's the same height as Mother Teresa.
Oh my God, it's so perfect.
It would have been perfect for her. She was born for that role, but now she's out there just making cooking videos.
Nerdy nummies. I'm happy for her.
She went down the right path.
Yeah. Second movie.
Yeah?
It's one you hated.
Oh, I did.
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
Do you want to take a guess?
2021, I hated it.
Uh-huh. You've talked recently about how much you hated it.
Halloween Ends?
No.
No, that was Kills that came out that year, which I loved. Fuck. I talked about it recently?
Yeah.
On the show or just
on
between
this,
us?
Both.
Fuck, okay.
You ranted about it before recording and then while recording and then I think also a little bit after recording.
Seriously?
Yes.
I don't know.
Wrong turn.
Oh, I fucking hate that. Yeah.
That released February 26, 2021.
That was 21?
Yep.
What the fuck, man?
also don't have a budget for it. It has a worldwide gross of 4.8 million and unfortunately the same IMDb score as Jacob's Wife of 5.5 out of 10.
That one needs to go down. That one needs to be... Look, okay, I'm sorry. I'll say this and then we'll be done with it. Maybe okay as its own movie, but don't call that shit Wrong Turn. That's the part that pisses me off. That's all I'm going to say.
He's got really strong feelings about it.
You do too.
I know.
We both do.
Okay. And third, maybe.
Okay.
Hellbender.
Ooh, Hellbender. Okay.
Yeah.
Was that the one that was on the last drive-in?
Yes.
Okay. That was an interesting little movie.
Yeah. So that premiered at the Fantasia International Film Festival on August 14th, 2021. I don't have a budget for this either because I think the whole backstory is like it was a family filmed it all together.
Yeah. So. Yeah, they all made it together. I think during COVID too.
And it did have a worldwide gross of 67.4 thousand and has an IMDb score of 5.8 out of 10.
Okay.
So that's a pretty fun little movie. I have three taglines.
Wow, that's a lot for this.
Yes, and I know at least two of them were on posters, so I went with the poster that was on IMDb.
Okay.
That's the main tagline, which is, who's your master?
Who's your master?
Okay. Faster! Faster! Obey your master!
Jacob's Wife, who's your master? Yeah. Okay.
Some marriages are truly blessed.
Okay. I wouldn't say that.
And then she will prey on you.
That one makes more sense.
A little bit, because I feel like they're trying to like tie it back into the whole church thing, but that would be pray for you, pray over you, pray with you. That would be good, like in reference to the master. She will pray with you.
See, I thought that was talking about the master. She will prey on you.
Yeah, so... Not my favorite.
No, those are kind of lackluster taglines. Yeah. And like I feel like this movie could have had a lot of fun with it.
Yes. You know? Absolutely. Okay. So I couldn't find a ton in the way of fun facts. Even, you know, my last resort of checking the IMDb trivia wasn't really like trivia. It's like there are 18 people in the cast of this film.
Whoa.
Barbara Crampton's a producer.
I'm having some fun hearing this shit. These are some fun facts.
However, I did find an interview with Barbara Crampton on RogerEbert.com.
Okay.
That talked some about this, but also a lot about like indie filmmaking and how she feels looking back on some of her stuff from the 80s. So,
okay.
Let's see. This screenplay actually won an award at Shriekfest, and she read it around that time and was really invested in it. She said that she kind of really connected with the role of Anne and likened her renewed love and lust for life that is awakened by being bit to how Barbara Crampton herself felt after she stopped acting for a good long while, took a break, got married, just focused on other things in her life, and then she kind of got back into it with Your Next.
Really? Was that mm-hmm. when she came back?
Yeah.
I thought that she never had a break. I thought she was acting consistently all throughout.
Yeah, no, she took a little bit of a break. Wow. So, and she just kind of really fell in love with it again and realized that it was something that made her truly happy.
That's good. I'm glad. And she had like a hell of a comeback too.
She really did.
And it, like just from the way she looked, is like she didn't even miss any time. Like,
right?
She looked exactly the same.
Well, and I remember Your Next was actually my introduction to Barbara Crampton.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
And because I hadn't seen things like Chopping Mall or Reanimator before that. So.
Okay.
But I remember when we watched it, I was like, why did they cast this woman who's obviously way too young to be the matriarch of this family? And then I found out that Babs just looks good.
Yeah.
She's just hot.
Yep. Yeah. She aged super, super
yes.
well.
So Barbara and Co., the rest of the production team, director and whatnot, they had a few different people in mind, but the name that they started with and kept going back to over and over again for the role of Jacob was Larry Fessenden. Barbara had worked with him multiple times before, and she said they kind of had similar experiences where they've played not necessarily lead roles, and she thought that this is a role that he would really get a chance to shine as like a leading man.
Yeah, he had a much lesser role in Your Next.
Yeah.
He just gets killed in the opening.
Yeah, I think, and we joke around, we have a hard time remembering his name because we always want to make it Larry Fessender.
Yeah, it's, I struggle to remember it, but I always remember his face, and I'm always like, yeah, it's that fucking guy. He's always good. I always like him in everything I see.
Yeah, I like him in everything I see, and it is honestly like a thing where it's like, we never see much of him, and I remember when we first watched this movie, we were like, oh, Larry Fessenden, okay, nice to see the 5 minutes we'll see him on screen for.
He has led a movie, though. He led, like, a movie, I think that he was, like, heavily involved in the production of, let's see, Larry Fessenden. I'm just gonna look it up because I want to, like, actually, you know, say what it is. Larry Fessenden. Habit. That's what it's called. Dude, look, see how skinny he was back then.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was on the last drive-in too.
And then what was the movie that we were talking about last night that he was in where he was kind of a killer, kind of a hostage?
Let's see.
That was a weird movie, and it was also one where he kept popping back up over again, and we were like, weird for Larry Fessenden, but not mad about it because we like seeing him on screen.
He's in The Dead Don't Die.
A lot of people are in The Dead Don't Die, and you really need to give that movie another chance.
Don't know. I would watch it again just for that one scene of Adam Driver driving up in his little tiny smart car.
Oh, that is, there it is. Like Me.
Like Me. See, 2017. That's recent.
Okay.
Ish.
No. Okay. So they really spent a lot of time, like, working on their backstories for each other, like how they imagine the other, like their character sees the other character and how their character sees themselves. And they got the director, Travis, involved in it, too, and got some of his feedback. And so it was really collaborative. They spent a long time in pre-production, basically, while they were trying to get the funds and everything. And even after they got the funds, because they didn't fully pull Larry on until they were, like, ready to start shooting. Yeah.
This seems like the type of movie that he would have been fully on board with, like, from the get-go.
Well, because it was one of those things that they didn't know for sure it was happening.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And, yeah, when they were shooting, basically they were, like, living on the set together, just, like, staying in separate rooms. She was like, it was kind of like being an actual married couple, because, like, we're sitting there together, we're hanging out together, eating our meals together.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So they get to build that chemistry that makes this movie kind of work.
Yeah. Really.
I think that kind of worked in their benefit.
Yeah, and it helped that they'd worked together on multiple projects and stuff before and had a good working relationship already and a good rapport. So. Yeah. That's really all I have for my fun facts. Like I said, it was kind of light there.
Would some call this an obscure movie, which is why it would be difficult to find fun facts on it?
I guess it depends on who you're talking to. Our bubbies over on Twitter would highly disagree. So when Travis put out the call for reviews, he listed it as an obscure movie. And I kind of questioned that word choice, but didn't say anything because whatever, he's doing the tweeting. And it's been one of our more popular, like, announcements for a movie.
I swear to God, y'all did that shit out of spite.
I appreciate it.
It's okay. I'm okay with it.
It's funny watching him go, oh.
But the entire, I was just like, what the fuck? Everybody's making me look like a damn fool.
Okay.
All right.
Travis, what's your good?
Good, bad, ugly, and absurd.
Yeah.
Okay. So first off, I think the best thing about this movie is how Barbara Crampton and Larry Fessenden play off of each other. I mean, it's like...
Did you do that on purpose?
Did I fuck it up?
Yeah.
No, I was legitimately trying
Fessenden.
Larry Fessenden. I thought that they did a great job together, honestly. It's really cool, which I guess is also to say, I feel like this movie does a good job of... it has the makings of being like a certain type of story. Like, you got her and she is like finding this newfound strength. And in a lot of ways, like, this movie would go with her just standing up to him and attacking him and like moving on. But like, instead, it's about the two of them growing together,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was an interesting twist because you don't really think that going like with how things are progressing at the beginning of the movie. And it keeps you on your toes. And it makes it a lot more entertaining to watch whenever it, like, subverts your expectations like that.
Yeah.
I also thought that the effects were really solid on this, especially for it being as cheap as it sounds.
Yeah.
Like, they have a shit ton of blood shooting out, and I don't think that that's CG blood. That looked like it was real.
Yeah. I mean, I doubt they would have even had the budget for CG blood, but yeah, that's, like, you know, you have to set up, like, rigging and stuff and film it just right, so.
Yeah, and it looks great, too. I think the vampire stuff in this movie is legitimately creepy too, which I think is really difficult to do because I don't necessarily find vampires scary.
Well, and they definitely, I mean, this was also listed as trivia, even though I think it's pretty obvious that Bonnie Arryn's makeup was based off of Count Orlok.
Yeah, definitely. But the master is actually scary whenever they're on screen. Like, it's really creepy.
Yes.
Even the other vampire, Amelia, like, whenever she has her moment when she intervenes with them, like, she's pretty intimidating. I don't know. Like, you get major props from me whenever you make me feel that, like, tension and, like, creepiness when I'm watching a vampire.
Yeah. I like that it's kind of a subversion of the typical vampire thing where you have to be like invited in to the home. It's not being invited into the home, it's being invited into like the host, basically.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting.
So yeah, that's pretty much my good stuff for this.
I agree with all of what you said, and I'm just gonna add a few other points. I think it's interesting to have both characters that do good and bad things. It makes them very human and real. Mm-hmm. And I think that their relationship is also very human and real. Like, it's honestly just kind of sad to watch what they're going through, because it is a thing that so many couples do go through, that growing apart, that resentment, you know. And she's afraid to speak up, and she's in, you know, in a society, especially like where she's a minister's wife. Yeah. You know, she's expected to be quiet and dutiful, and so she wants to speak up but doesn't feel like she can, and that's constantly reinforced around her. And either Jacob doesn't notice, or he notices but is perfectly content to live that way, and I don't know which is worse. You know, so it's just, it's one of those things, it's all too real, and you see it all too often.
Yeah.
So I think that that's like a really, like, they're very real characters, you know. And also, like, just, like, the little ways that she, like, is just, you can see that she's discontented. They show, like, her being annoyed by the way he brushes his teeth.
Yeah.
Like, things like that. I think it's got some good funny moments, like, when she starts realizing she's super powerful and she's, like, picking up different furniture and dancing around. At first, she's dancing around with the lamp, but then she starts, like, rearranging their house's furniture, like, just by lifting up the couch and putting it over there.
Yeah.
It's real fun. And then also, I like that up until the very end, even after Jacob has heard the master talk, keeps referring to the master as him. I think it's just like another nice little detail about like how deeply ingrained they are in like patriarchal standards in their lives and their society and the way they're living, that like, even though it's this woman vampire that has chosen women to turn.
Yeah.
And even specifically says, I choose the ones that I want to turn and the rest are snacks. We only see women vampires in this. And even up until the very end, Jacob is calling the master him. So I think that's really interesting.
Wait, did they ever correct him?
No.
Okay.
But it honestly kind of feels like maybe it would. And that's the other thing, too, is that at the very end where Jacob does make that choice, like, you know, they've had this whole talk. They get high and they talk out their problems. And it feels like they kind of have a new appreciation for each other. You know, she's like, you're always talking over me, but I'm also not speaking up enough. So they kind of are acknowledging their flaws.
Yeah.
And they apologize. And it looks like they're working towards it a little bit better. And for him to stab the master when Anne is trying to make that decision for herself is such a slip back into their old dynamics. And that also feels very real when you're trying to work through troubled relationship dynamics.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a thing that you just like slip through in a day or two, you know. So I think there are so many layers to this movie, and I think it's really good. And it's just also, it's a fun little vampire romp, and we get more vampire lore that makes no goddamn sense.
Yeah.
Only in universe, because that's how vampire lore works, you know?
I guess that would be like one of my only bad things is like, I don't know, what is the fucking lore here? You know what I mean? Like, I never know the lore of vampire movies, and I feel like they're always a little bit more tricky. This one, I don't think it ever paints, like, what the rules are.
Not really, no.
Which, I don't know, I think it would have been cool to, like, explore that a little bit.
It feels like that's a little bit in between typical vampire and Twilight in terms of sunlight exposure. You know, like she can have some sunlight, but too much and she will
like she
burn.
Has just like that one light from the dentist shining on her yeah. mouth and it burns her, but then everything else is totally cool.
Yeah, like she can go outside with like a hood and that's fine. But like in Buffy, you'll see if any of the vampires go out in the day, they have to fully cover themselves. They can't even have, it's not even just like a little hood because that'll yeah. be enough to get to their faces.
But so. We don't even get that here. Like yeah. what happens if she has a flashlight? Like, you know, normal lights, I don't know. Like,
she had a flashlight and she's been inside her house and inside the grocery store. So that didn't totally seem fine. To affect her. Yeah.
yeah. It's just like super highly constant, like light that would burn just about anybody.
I think maybe it's like a UV ray basically because I feel like that's what they use for teeth whitening.
Hmm. Maybe. So. I don't know. I mean, that's...
So she needs to stay out of tanning beds.
Yeah. yeah. Well, most people should.
Yes. Agreed.
I mean, that's pretty much my only bad for this movie, though.
I agree, kind of. I guess in general, I would like more world building.
Yeah.
You know?
There was a lot of potential there.
Yeah.
With that. Like, you know, like what I want to see, like, the fucking army of, like, other vampires that the Master created, too. We only see Amelia and...
Yeah.
And
I think, you know, it's partially budget constraints. And also this was filmed during COVID. So
that's true.
Yeah. I think both of those things really worked against what it could have done. But I think, you know, the fact that they set it in a small town helps some.
Yeah. I do like, though, that they like you see at least two examples of how the Master chooses her victims. And it's always people with like troubled home lives.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, too, is that I think it, in a way, this movie kind of makes me think of Midsommar, where, you know, the whole thing with Midsommar is that cults lure in people that are lonely and in need of some kind of like a support or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it happens to Amelia because she is like home alone with her mom who has some very severe substance abuse issues, and then we've got Anne who is feeling very unfulfilled in her marriage, and like so we've got the Master coming in and enticing them with strength and no boundaries or limitations on their life, and they can just do whatever they want, which is the thing that they haven't always had. And I think it's especially smart when the Master is using that language of like, oh, he won't be able to control you anymore, even though she's literally a vampire called the Master. You know what I mean?
Controlling.
Yes. Who has in fact controlled Anne's bodily movements earlier in the movie.
See, I feel like that's something that could have been explored too, is mm-hmm. like the fact that they're not choosing this life. The Master's making these huge decisions for them, and I guess like thinks that they're helping them, but like, you know, like they're not really asking if that's the type of thing that they really want. I feel like it would have been interesting to explore somebody having, you know, conflicting feelings about becoming a vampire.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's kind of what we're getting with Anne, but we, you know, there's
so many.
Anne
pretty much embraces
yeah.
it from the get-go. I don't think she ever has. She becomes a vampire and does not look back the entire time.
It would have been interesting to see her, like, go through and get, like, tired of the restrictions of it.
But I feel like there aren't any.
I mean, the thirst for blood. She's eventually yeah. going to have to figure out how to manage that without hoping that they just run across dead bodies all the time.
Luckily for her, you can buy blood at the supermarket, apparently. Which
no,
she
that
does.
That blood made her sick, though, because it wasn't human.
Oh, well, then we're not playing by Twilight
no,
rules,
no,
then, are
not.
We?
We're
See,
not.
That's the fucking problem. What is happening here? In Twilight, they said it's okay. Okay. Ugly. I thought that... they made Jacob so fucking disgusting in these scenes whenever he's like chewing, like smacking his lips and shit like that. They make him like a truly disgusting and ugly person. And
yeah.
like you can see why there's some problems there. But I feel like they did a good job with that. I also thought it was disgusting whenever we see the bite mark from
Oh Anne, my God.
And it just starts pulsating. That right there. Takes a lot for me to be like, okay, that's a lot, but that one right there did it for me. And I
it's too much.
I would have not had on my bingo card vampire bite makes me upset.
But there it is.
It did. And it's just fucking pulsating.
Yeah,
man.
We both squirmed watching that.
That's good
that.
Effects, but
yeah.
goddamn it's ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess my ugly is basically just, you know, how it was so easy for her to fall into that position where she is expected to be the quiet, dutiful wife and everybody was just okay with it. Even when she tries to speak up, everybody talks over her.
Mm-hmm.
It's realistic and sad and ugly.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's also ugly that it took cheating and becoming a vampire for her to like stand up to him.
And okay, let's also talk about the allegory to victim blaming, because he said that this is your penance. This is what you get. You deserve you deserve to be turned into the undead. You deserve the attack on you, nearly dying because you kissed another man.
I can say though that probably just came from like a personal hurt.
I'm sure it did, but I don't know. I think there's also like an ugliness in saying the most hurtful thing that you can think of when you're hurting versus like just expressing that you're hurting. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's not the healthiest way to handle that situation.
Especially if you're a supposed man of God.
Well, he kind of just says, fuck that shit, like halfway through this movie here. He's like, yeah, I'm going to start smoking weed.
Goes full vaya con Dios.
This is a PSA. He hits that doobie and he's like, that's it. I'm fucking with vampires. Let's have vampire sex. Is this what Dare
was trying to teach us?
Yeah. They're like, hey, if you smoke that pot of marijuana, whole pot of it.
A whole pot of
you
marijuana.
Will begin fucking a vampire Barbara
Crampton.
That is
Crampton. What you smoke pot. That is what you smoke weed in, right? Is pots.
That's why weed has become legal in so many states. Is everybody is like, well, yeah, I want to
be
fuck
a vampire,
Barbara
yeah.
Crampton, as a vampire and a man of God. Like they're winning that part. You're a man of God at least. Okay, absurd. Well, there's one scene in particular when they're walking. Actually, there's many scenes. But they're walking through the house and they have an entire wall full of pictures. And it's just from like the bottom to the floor all the way to the roof. Just pictures all over the wall. Who the fuck does that?
Ministers, families in small towns living in houses that they've likely inherited from families.
I think
so. I guarantee some of those are like his grandmother's photos.
No, I don't think so. I'm not buying that shit. It's ridiculous.
My absurd is Oscar and Ellie and their feud with the local pastor. Like, why?
They're like going to a church to smoke weed and then they get offended when
the
minister comes out and is like, hey, don't be smoking weed on my property.
Yeah. That's I'm gonna go with that for my absurd.
Isn't it also weird that all the shit goes down at this mill where she's working? Like, that's where they go to also smoke weed and have sex. That's where she goes to have her affair. That's where she goes to work. That's where the vampire also stays in a box that's just kind of chilling there.
It was a crate delivered, much like Count Orlok in...
And nobody's questioning this shit, and nobody's working there, apparently. This mill is, like, abandoned.
Yeah, it's abandoned, and there was, like, this whole town debate about, like, what to do with it, preserve it for historical, or turn it into, like, a retail thing. And that's what her character is saying earlier on, that they got it approved to turn into retail, but they're saving the structural foundation, and they fought really hard for it. And he completely ignores everything she said and said, oh, great, they're going to tear down the mill.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Because that's one of those examples of him just, like, not paying attention to the things she cares about and has worked on. He's like, what does this have to do with Jacob? Oh, Jacob doesn't like. That means bad.
I hope this doesn't reflect on me being like him. But I just like actually envision her like putting on her hard hat. Like, I'm going to the mill today, Jacob. It gets her like lunch pail and just walks out the door.
Dude, I bet she'd have a bedazzled hard hat. She served looks after she got turned.
You think she went shopping and bought that dress, or do you think she had that dress?
No, because he said that like after the attack, like he was talking to his brother and he's like, she's got a new haircut and a new sexy dress. I don't think he said sexy dress, but like the tonation was there. Like I could see her breasts.
The temptation dress.
The dress of desire.
I bet she shoplifted it too.
Probably.
Yeah.
So
all right.
Yeah.
So
moment of truth. Yeah.
Time for ratings. I liked this movie. I liked it a lot whenever we watched it the first time. We did a watch along for our first watch, by the way, with actual, Babs herself.
Yeah. And, it's on Twitter. Somebody arranged like a watch along when it premiered on Shudder, and we had a good time watching it.
Yeah, it was cool. And I had a good time then. I had a good time last night. I think I'm going to give it
7.5. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to give it an 8. It's one of those that has just stuck with me. it will stick with me again. And now that we've watched it again recently, I really like what it did. And I would love to see like a sequel or something with more funding behind it to see what they could really do with this premise.
I would love to see the adventures that they go on together. Because, like, I feel like there's a lot of potential there. You could just go balls to the wall with the next movie.
And, like, the thing is, too, they have, like, a sense of humor with them, too. And it's not super in your face. And I think if they had more of a budget to work with where they don't necessarily have to balance out, like, okay, we got to focus on the horror here.
Yeah.
And, like, they can really play around with it and have some fun. So we have a starting average of 7.75. And I think that's fantastic.
I think that's good. That's less rude than the IMDb.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So let's kick this off.
We start off with a shot of a little mousy poo grooming itself. Probably a rat, really, but it looks so cute.
Kind of reminded me of, I think you pointed out.
It's like how Scout grooms herself. Yeah, like licking little paws and then rubbing the head.
I thought that was interesting that other, like a mouse or a rat would do the same thing.
Yeah. Then we see a church van, and then we cut to Jacob actually preaching, talking about husbands loving their wives. I'm sorry, I haven't been to church in a decade or so I'm not fully familiar with this verse, but it's setting up the plot about how a husband needs to be devoted to his wife, but then, like, secretly behind the scenes it's the kind of the other way going around.
He's just giving his sermon there. As a person that's been to a lot of church sermons in their life, usually, like, these guys just go up there and they have like a pregame, like a plan, and then they just go out there and they just start like spitting shit.
Spitting fire.
Yeah.
Hellfire.
My favorite is when they like get surprised like by what they say. It's happened a lot, but like they're like, I just thought of that shit in my head just now. This is probably what he's thinking right now.
I love the idea that a pastor's like, yo, I improv that and I want everybody to know because we do that to each other. We'll make jokes around our house and be like, I just came up with that. Are you proud of me? Like, fully say those exact words out loud.
That's what Jacob's like right here. He's like, love your wife. God damn, I just thought of that shit. Yo, write that down. Everybody's just taking notes there.
Afterwards, they talk to their parishioners and Amelia is there and it's actually Anne who's like, hey, I've noticed your mom hasn't been here lately. Is everything okay? And I think that's like very astute of her and shows that she's like also paying attention and really cares.
Yeah.
And yeah, it turns out Amelia's mother has a past history with substance abuse issues and has sadly, is experiencing a relapse.
Yeah, they just say she's been drinking again.
Yeah.
Which, okay, again, from somebody who's been to church, like, people think if you just drink a beer sometimes, it's like, that's it. God don't love you no more.
It's kind of heavily implied that it's more than that.
It is in this case, yeah. But like, you could also hear this conversation and it could be like, yeah, she had a beer last night. And it'd be like, oh God, I'm so sorry, Amelia.
But, Jacob's like, well, all she needs is the Lord. So how about I come over and talk to her?
He's like, I'm the Lord.
Jacob, doing the Lord's work? Because I am the Lord.
And then,
that's Anne's... Jacob with a K, because I'm a cool pastor.
He's a youth pastor. That would be how.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He flips the seat around backwards. He's like, I'm here today to rap about Jesus.
He's like Kelvin. Like, he's got his hair spiked up.
Do you think at any point Jacob has had an army of strong boys?
That's what I want the sequel to be. I want him to have his own little cult. He's like, she's got her vampire cult.
Oh my God. Okay, so they have sex high, mm-hmm. and she goes to do a little neck nibble, but accidentally turns him. So then he starts turning boy vampires, and he gets his army of strong boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, okay. If you haven't seen Righteous Gemstones, watch that shit.
Absolutely. It's so funny. There's three seasons. It's really, honestly, you go through it too quickly. It's amazing. Okay.
All right.
So Amelia walks to maybe the next town over. I feel like she's walking forever.
It's cool. I love the shots that they have here, but like they just had too many of them and it looks like she's just walking the fucking country to go back home.
It like the sun hits high noon and goes down below the horizon.
And then it rises again. Yeah.
A rooster crows.
Yeah. And She makes it along a stretch.
Do you think maybe she was secretly hoping Jacob would offer to talk to her mother that night so she could get a ride home?
I feel like she might have been hitting on it. She's like, yeah, well,
we that's can... why she looked so disappointed when he said he'd come visit tomorrow. She's like, ow.
Yeah. Okay. So she makes it outside her house. It's nighttime. And then she starts hearing somebody whisper her name.
Amelia.
And then she tries to go back.
Spanish.
Spanish.
Rogue Spanish.
She makes it to her door, but then she gets...
She gets creepy handed on the shoulders.
Yeah.
So...
Little snatch.
Yeah, little snatchy snatch. So then we cut to, and you know it's a bad news because the captions say squelch.
Oh yeah, that's what I have here. She got squelch.
Yeah, if a horror movie ever has the caption squelch, squelching, squelches, you know, any conjugation of that word, you're dead or stepping in somebody who is dead.
The funny thing is, though, I don't think I heard a squelch here. I
just saw squelch.
Yeah, like the subliminal squelch was implied. Squelch. They're like, the squelch was there. Trust us on this one.
Okay, so Anne is looking at herself in the mirror, in an all too real moment of just looking at everything and just wondering where the years went and how to regain her youth and beauty, and which is ridiculous because it's, you know, that line in Barbie where it's like, note to the director, Margot Robbie is the wrong person to send this message. Same with Barbara Crampton.
She's aged, but God, she doesn't look.
She does not look her age.
Just purely by numbers.
She looks my age.
Yeah, it's like, I get it, but yeah, wrong person for this right here.
Yeah.
She's even doing her workout, so we see her doing that.
I love her in her little gray sweatsuit. Yeah. And she's like got her little 6-pounders and following along to her 80s aerobics video.
Keeping toned.
It's amazing.
She's doing good. And then Jacob gets a call, and it's about Amelia's disappearance.
Mm-hmm. So they talk to the sheriff. I wrote his name down at some point, but I didn't write it down here because I didn't say it yet. Oh, okay. I didn't write many more notes. Just basically the cops were questioning what was going on. And Anne tries to like defend Amelia. She's like, she's not the type that would just run off. She was taking care of her mother. She's been devoted to taking care of her mother for a long time. And this just isn't, she's not somebody that would just run off with a boy like that.
Yeah.
But they all just dismiss her.
Yeah.
And then at dinner that night, with Jacob's brother Bob and his wife Carol, they are talking about it, and he was like, "It's probably the dad." And Anne's like, "Well, her dad's dead." And he goes, "Well, then it's probably a boyfriend. God damn, it's always that." Sorry about the blasphemy. Bob is like a really fun side character because he just has like fun little one-liners like that, and he's not necessarily a great person, but he's also, again, a realistic person.
Yeah, he's actually, it is kind of interesting to see him be his brother, and he's definitely not a religious guy.
Yeah, I was thinking about like how I would feel if one of my sisters became a preacher, priest?
A minister.
Do
you like how we did that? That was C-word, right? There.
Yeah, that would be, this is the type of stuff I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would probably have to say sorry about the blasphemy multiple times. And then Jacob just keeps cutting off Anne every time she tries to say anything, and it's so frustrating to watch. It's like, let her fucking talk!
Yeah.
Oh, no, one other thing is that when they're talking about Amelia, Anne is pointing out, like, because they all have theories that, like, she ran off or smarted off the wrong person or this or that. And she was like, you realize that we have this teenager missing and you guys are all blaming her.
Yeah.
So.
Which is kind of fucked up for him, especially because he's supposed to be, like, he's supposed to be a supportive figure for the community, especially for her since she was a member of that church.
Yes.
He's like, well, she's probably fucked up and it's all her fault.
She walks 20 miles to that church.
To listen to your bullshit? To listen to Love Your Wife? Is that the best she got today, Jacob? We knew that shit. God didn't come up with that one by himself.
Then we cut to very aggressive teeth brushing. Like, so aggressive. Like, I worry for his gums. Like, you know, the dentist is like, you need to chill a little. Here's a soft bristle.
Yeah.
And I say this as somebody that my dentist has been like, hey, You need to chill. Here's a soft bristle.
I've been with you when you've brushed your teeth. You never have brushed your teeth as aggressively as Jacob has.
No, because I don't want to like smear toothpaste all over my face the way he looks rabid.
This is how he fights the demon right here. He's got to do it somehow. Take out his aggression on his teeth.
And then he crawls into bed and snores louder than Talia.
He's a nasty sleeper.
Yeah.
That's like the best way to describe it. Like, I had a roommate that was just like this guy. Worst fucking snoring ever. And yeah, it's not fun. And I can understand why she's starting to have some resentment being around him during this shit.
Yeah. I don't know. If she doesn't work during the day, then maybe a good pair of earplugs.
You can work it out.
Yeah.
Like, it's not his fault that he does this because...
No, you know, I don't blame him for snoring, but it's also kind of one of those things that when you get so... It's the bitch eating crackers thing. Like, when you get so annoyed with somebody, everything they do becomes annoying, and it'll be like, man, just look at this bitch eating crackers.
Yeah. I've never heard that before, but I get it.
Yeah, no, it's one of my favorite terms to describe this, bitch, like, where you're crackers. Just like, look at this fucking bitch eating some crackers.
I've had that before, dude.
Everybody's had that fit, and that's what I'm saying. These characters are so well written because you can relate to this moment where you're looking at someone and you're like, could you brush your teeth less annoyingly?
I remember one time in high school, like one of our friends is walking down the hall and for some reason I was just not having it. And I remember I like looked over at one of my friends and was like, I don't fucking like him right now. That was it. I decided then I was done. It didn't take much.
So, Anne does some macrame work, and here's Anne. Ricky Spanish. over breakfast, she tells Jacob about the proposal for the mill being repurposed to a retail area, and that her team fought really hard to keep the foundation because the city wanted to just tear everything down. And he's like, oh, so the mill's not going to be preserved as a historical site? Sounds like something that makes Jacob angry. I need to go to work. Do you have breakfast ready?
You know what? I bet he wanted her. He was trying his best to pull strings and turn that into a mega church.
Oh my god.
I guarantee fucking tea.
Again, we just need a Righteous Gemstones
sequel
to this. No, she tells him that they've got a design firm that's ready to do this, and it's actually their representative is somebody that used to live in town. It's Tom Lowe. And he goes, oh, the one you had a fling with. And she's like, Jacob, we've been married for 30 years. And he goes,
Yeah, so she's like, well, I'm going to have a meal with him. So,
yep.
And he's like, well, tell him I said hi. That's it.
And then she has this moment. She's putting on the lipstick, and it's a bright red lipstick, which is not like, that's not a bad thing. I'm a fan of bright, bold lipsticks. But for her, you can tell it's a thing she doesn't do very often. And like in the mirror, she like mouths, hi, John.
Yeah, she's trying to bring herself up.
And then she realizes that it doesn't work for her, and she wipes it off. Mm. But she does show up to their meal, and Tom is kind of surprised that she's with Jacob. He was like, you used to be so wild and adventurous and always talked about moving out. And she's like, well, my mom died. You weren't there for me. Jacob was. So was the church.
Yep.
And she's like, and we're happy.
Yeah, she says it in the most convincing way.
We're happy.
Don't get me wrong, we're happy.
we're definitely happy. So they go to the mill. Sorry, that was my hit coming out.
Yeah.
They go to the mill, and they apparently used to hook up there, and he's like, listen, this job takes me all over the world. I got so much money, so many bitches, you would not believe. But I came back to this little bumfuck town because I wanted to see you, Anne. How about we hook up in this dusty, musty warehouse? And she's like, wow, Tom, you're so romantic. Let's kiss on this crate of rats. And that's what happens.
Crate of rats, yeah. Yeah. Nobody's questioning this fucking crate there.
I think for Anne, it's a little bit of like the thrill of being wanted. Again, I'm not excusing her cheating, just I think that's really where it's coming from. Like, it's the thrill of being wanted and being wanted by somebody that's not Jacob, who fucking brushes his teeth and snores and probably eats crackers.
God, how dare he? Yeah. Now, Thomas is kind of a scummy dude here, too. Because, mm-hmm. like, I mean, he's straight up going for her when he knows good and well that
he's not her knight in shining armor.
Yeah.
And she even does, like, try and pull back a couple of times, but then she always leans back in.
Oh, and also, can I apologize? Because I, in the previous episode, claimed that this was Carter, that dick.
Yeah.
But it's not. He's not even in this movie
at all. He's not at all.
I just imagined that entire thing, apparently.
Yeah. You were like, oh, scummy marriage breaker upper. Carter, yeah. You dick.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He, all of the rats decide that they're going to attack Tom. And while Anne is appropriately distracted by this, she gets a little nibble from the master.
The vampire goes, call. Just like straight up. Like, is that the vampire sound? Is that the war of this universe?
Back at home, Jacob is calling Bob to see if Anne is there, maybe visiting Carol. But then she walks in and she's like facing away from him and is giving like very short answers. Good. Okay. Good night. And then in the bathroom, she has basically a panic attack because she's been like, you see, like she's got a terrible neck wound and is covered in blood.
Yeah, she is fucked up.
And I think it's so sad that she's going through that alone. You know,
I mean, how do you explain that?
Right. Like, right? It's a terrible thing to have to explain, like the kissing, but also like, hey, can we deal with that after we deal with the fact that I'm bleeding from my carotid?
He would just pray for her or something.
Be like, if the Lord wants you to live.
Yeah, this is God's will.
Bye.
All right, good night. Eat my crackers.
So Jacob wakes up alone in the bed. He's a little bit surprised, but she's working out. And before, like, her routine also involved getting up even earlier than him, working out and cooking his breakfast. But today she was just focused on working out. She says she's not hungry. She's not making you breakfast. And he's like, well, guess I'll get breakfast in town. Homie, if you have time to stop at a Burger King and get yourself a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, you have time to scramble up an egg.
And I'm pretty sure with your job,
both take about 10 minutes. And you can make your own hours.
Yeah, nobody's going to be at the church at that hour. You know what I mean? Like, just show up whenever you need to.
Yeah.
I don't get it. But yeah. And you're a fucking adult. Like, learn how to, like, eat by yourself.
Yes. Eggs are, like, one of the first things you can learn to cook. Like, it's just kind of sad how much he, like, relies on her without realizing he's actually relying on her.
I really wish we had a scene of him just, like, standing in the kitchen and just, like, standing there.
Just, like, looking at their cast iron going,
Looking at the cabinets like, what is this shit?
Takes out a bag of flour and just, like, puts a little in the pan and he's like, this?
I'm just thinking of that scene from American Dad where Stan gets high and he's at the grocery store just standing at, like, staring at the chips like, what the fuck do I do? How do I make a decision? So yeah, and she's like really into her workout right now too.
Yeah.
And she's really strong apparently too.
She's real strong and she's real angry and she is not hungry. Yeah. So outside of the church, there's a couple smoking pot on the hood of their car and Jacob takes the joint. And they're like, you can't tell us what to do. It's legal here. And he goes, actually, it's not, first of all. Also, you're in the church parking lot. And also, there's a girl your age missing. So he keeps their joint, which yeah. I think is kind of funny.
Yeah, he doesn't throw it away. Like, the fact that he kept it, you know, in the back of his mind, is like, I want to, like, at least try this.
Yeah, you know, just maybe see what's up with it. Back at home, he doesn't see Anne, and he's kind of looking around, and then she startles him behind, and she's all dressed up, and she said, I want to go out. And she's got a new do, and she's got a dress cut down betwixt the booble area.
Yeah, the boobles. She looks nice. It's a nice dress. It compliments her really well.
Yeah, and so they go out to eat, but she doesn't want to eat.
God, and, what the fuck, man? That's a power move? She's like, all right, like, give me the most expensive shit on the menu.
It's chicken, Travis.
I know, but still, it's funny. Like, just like as an example, but like, I don't know, like, she just looks at the waiter, and the waiter's like,
blinks her eyes and they had thrown this funny little sound effect of like a ding to show like her magnetism now, and the waiter's a little bit startled, and Jacob's like, bring my wife a box, and she goes, no,
I'm done. She's like, throw that shit away.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Jacob's like, all right, well, I'm going to eat my crackers.
And so he's still eating. Chewing, and, like, he's chewing with his mouth open. It's
so disgusting. God, this motherfucker does... Like, learn how to eat properly. Just do it, man. Don't smack your fucking lips like that. And he's drinking his wine, and he's like, you should try it. It's really good.
And she looks like she is being force-fed Brussels sprouts. Like, she's like,
oh. Yeah. And she's drinking wine, too. I thought, you know, wine might be okay for vampires, but apparently not.
Apparently not. So they get home, and in bed, she flips him over because she's annoyed.
This was so weird to me. Like, so they're, like, asleep, and then it just, like, quick cuts to her standing over him and just, like, kicking him. And then it cuts to the morning. It happens way too fast.
And she's like, I told you it was a bad dream. And she's cooking bacon for me. He goes, you know what? I'll just stop for breakfast on the way. And she goes, you need to stop fucking cutting me off. And they, like, argue a little bit before he leaves. Yeah. So she goes grocery shopping. Looks fucking amazing. Like, this shot of her grocery shop, and I'm like, man, I want to look so cool at a Kroger. Instead, I usually wear, like, my sweatpants and have a yeah. ratty bun.
You get confused. She's confused, too, I guess, to be fair here. She's just kind of browsing around. She stumbles upon the meat section. Nothing seems
good.
And she sees the blood from one of the steaks.
Yeah.
So she sticks her finger in there and starts licking it. And then somebody approaches her and is like, can we help you?
And she said, I want more of this. And he goes, the blood? And then at home, she's got a gallon of it. And she's pouring it into a little goblet. And what? She listens to some gothy fucking music and dances around the house and does a little feng shui. Sounds like a nice self-care afternoon.
I just don't understand why his immediate reaction was the blood. I would be like, oh, you want the steak?
Because he watched her poke a hole in that saran wrap, dip her finger in the blood, and then lick it.
I still would have thought, like, okay, you want the steak, right? I like the scene of her, like, playing around with her newfound powers, so.
Yeah.
Like, I think that blood may have given her a little bit of strength.
Well, so I love it, and I also, like, I feel like it's not just her being excited about being strong enough to move the furniture. I bet she's always wanted the house arranged like this, and Jacob never agreed to it.
Probably, yeah. I love, they did a good job with the fake furniture and her picking it up and just moving around. It looks really good. And thinking of Scream Queens, she knew how to, like, give it, like, weight, but, like, make it still look like it was easy for her to pick
up.
Like, that seems like it would be difficult to do, to give it the right amount of weight.
She pukes the blood because it's not human blood, so it still made her sick. And then she gets in the bathtub and we see icky neck pulsating.
Ugh, yeah. Jacob is at
Bob and Carol's.
Yeah, getting having a conversation with them about
Anne's hot now, and also she's a little assertive. And I kind of like the hot, but I don't like the assertive.
She's not just assertive. She's kind of being short with him and then being kind of rude to him, too. Which is not necessarily uncalled for because he's been the same to her. But, like,
yeah.
Like, it is, like, a drastic change. And
but the drastic change is, like, her just letting him cut her off all the time. So it's like, are you mad that she's being a little bit short and curt? Or are you mad that she's not letting you steamroll her? You know, and it's kind of one of those that he needs to sit there and reflect on it for himself.
Yeah, that's true.
You can be mad about both things, but you need to actually sit there and acknowledge that you are mad that you're not necessarily running the show right now.
Yeah, I guess they don't necessarily explore that here. But they talk about it. He's like, yeah, ever since she met with Tom, things are going weird. And then his brother's like, all right, you got to fucking, like, confront that guy and you got to, like, settle this shit.
He comes home to a house covered in rats and Anne, like, exploring her body at the window at the behest of the master.
Exploring her body. That's the way to put it. She's going to town on herself.
I mean, you know what's happening.
Just out there in an exposed window and the whole neighborhood's just watching. You know, it'd be funny if everybody was just out there on the street.
So Jacob is preaching about if the husband is able to save the wife. Enter act two.
It'd be funny. He was like, hate your wife. Wives are fucking worst bros.
And then I think Anne might not be at church because they keep cutting in between this sermon to her in the garden eating worms.
Yeah, she's not there.
She goes to the dentist and the dentist is like, hey, so are you, have you been eating dirt?
This is us with Talia.
With Talia.
All the time.
Like, we're like, Talia, it looks like there's some dirt in your water bowl. And she's like, it's probably Scout.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And then we're like, no, that's definitely dirt. She goes, no, it's chocolate. You know I love chocolate. And that's totally safe for me, guys. And we're like, Talia, we saw you over at the dirt pile. Nah, that's not the dirt pile. There's no dirt outside.
Yeah. And that's exactly what Anne's doing here, too. She's like, ah, stop it. And then...
And the dentist is like, also, I know you don't have dental insurance, and this bill is going to suck.
Yeah. All right.
She's, now let's do a completely optional cosmetic procedure and whiten your teeth.
Shouldn't this be concentrated purely on the teeth, right? Like, why is this blasting her whole fucking mouth?
Like, that's a good way to get, like, wrinkles around your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like it would, like...
Or if you're a vampire, like... burn your face
or oh. that too.
Also, we didn't talk about the fact that the dentist is like, also you have new teeth growing in, and she's like, what? Oh, yeah. And the dentist is like, it's fine.
Yeah, they're really sharp and they're not natural teeth, but it's cool.
Yeah, like, it's fine, don't worry about it.
But stop,
like,
eating that dirt.
Stop eating dirt. Her face is burnt and she runs out, presumably also not paying the bill. But I feel like it's probably a win for the dentist office, because, like, that's kind of a lawsuit situation.
Yeah, it is. I wouldn't pay for that shit.
No, I'd be like, my face is burnt.
This is a legitimately upsetting moment, too.
Yeah.
Whenever her face is burnt, like, she's just got this ring of black around her mouth, and you can feel it.
It just is,
like, so bad.
And also, especially considering, like, she was doing, like, a procedure that's, like, for, like, typical beauty standards, and we'd seen her in the mirror earlier looking at her face. It's not just, like, the physical pain, but also, like, the feeling of being disfigured in that way.
Yeah.
So Jacob is looking for Tom at the mill. He assumes that Tom just lives there now.
Yeah, he goes there, he sees this car, he's like, yep, he just set up shop here. Dude's out of town. I guess he needed a place to stay.
And Oscar and Ellie, who are apparently stalking Jacob, are also there.
Yeah, what the fuck is this? Why does everybody go to the fucking mill?
When the town is a population of 10 and you have Jacob's house, Bob's house, Amelia's house, and the mill.
Yeah, you gotta go to the mill, I guess.
So, Oscar's, like, trying to, like, fight Jacob, which is just sad in a lot of ways, but Amelia pops up and she's like, we're done with you. And then she tells Jacob that she, because Jacob's like, oh my god, let me help you. And she goes, I've been helped. I have strength now, not fear. And this isn't about God's love. This is about love for myself. And Jacob's like, self-love. Is this how Jacob feels about Jacob? Other people feel that way about themselves? Not just about Jacob?
He's like, I'm writing that shit down. It's going to be next week's sermon. Love yourself like you're Jacob.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you any credit for it, but it seems like maybe you're dead, right? Okay, bye, Amelia.
I feel like it would be so in character for him to, like, talk about himself in third person, like, at the sermon. So Jacob had a great idea this past weekend. Jacob thinks that everybody should love themselves like Jacob.
And she's like, oh, yeah, so, yeah, you're really good at self-love, and other people should do some self-love, too, right, Jacob? No, no, people should love themselves the way they love Jacob.
Yes.
And she's like, ah.
May so, Jacob be with you.
So Jacob and Ellie run out, and Ellie, like, hits Amelia so they have a chance to run out. And she's like, we need to call the cops. And he goes, I need to go check on my wife. And Ellie's like, you're a priest, but whatever.
Yeah, fuck you,
and he's like, not a priest, I'm a minister, bye. Meanwhile, over at their house, the neighbor sees Anne inside, like, seizing, kind of, and he runs in to check on her, and she feeds on him. And Jacob walks in to a very messy kitchen. Think about our last vampire movie that we covered, From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah,
when, you know, Seth walked in on Richie with their little hostage in the hotel room. Is kind
Lots
of a similar
blood.
Situation. Yeah. Yep. And she's like, this isn't me. And he goes, kind of looks like you. And she's like, let me explain. So she tells him the story. Sheriff comes by asking about Ellie and Amelia and Oscar. And he said, who's Ellie? And he goes, you may know her. She skateboards around town. That's how you know she's a troubled youth. Skateboarding.
Yeah, smoking doobies and skateboarding.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Listen, weed in this universe is not the gateway drug. It's the final boss.
Yeah, that's
skateboarding's the gateway drug.
Yeah. And Jacob got the disguise of the century here. He's like a fucking bartender with the towel over his shoulder to yeah. block the blood.
Like, it worked out yeah. so perfectly. He's like, So she tells Anne tells Jacob that she didn't tell him what happened because she was ashamed. And he's like, yeah, you probably should be whore. And she's like, okay, but I do actually feel really good now that I've been bitten. So I kind of want to talk about this. Like, it's a good change. Like, I feel powerful for once in my life. And instead of him hearing that she's been feeling powerless, he goes, well, you know, this is unsustainable, right? Like, you can't just eat the neighbors, which is also, you know, fair. Yeah. And then Jacob also assumes he knows the vampire lore of this universe without fully vetting it. And he's like, I'm going to kill the master because I think that'll free you.
I love that that's like the immediate, like,
he's assuming conclusion. She's like the half vampires from Lost Boys. Yeah, like killing the master. I bet he saw Lost Boys. He was like, it's good 80s fun. It's PG-13. Yeah. It's fine. Is it PG-13? I do not remember what that movie is rated.
I think it's R.
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, Jacob is kind of jealous that, Anne was chosen because he starts saying, like, I just don't understand why the master went for you. And she goes, seriously right now, Jacob, with the jealousy? And he goes, no, I'm jealous of Tom, but I really want to kill that master. So he's driving to the mill and he's like, you need to wait out here. And she's like, I'm stronger than you right now. And I feel like I can be a good help. He goes, no, I think you won't be able to control your bloodlust. And she goes, stop the car. And he does. And she rips off a piece of a fence. And she's like, now I have a stake. Mm-hmm. So you can't tell me I don't have a way to defend myself. So she's like, I want us to be equals. We need to go into this together. And they see Amelia, and Amelia is talking to them and is like, you know, doing her vampire like Jedi mind voodoo tricks and is trying to like convince Jacob that she needs to that he needs to spare her and that she's still scared and inside of there, and Anne kills her.
No. Yeah. Anne doesn't kill her. Jacob stakes her in the head because Anne...
No, Anne stakes her in the head because he gets mad at her and says that he could have saved her.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, he also, like, I love how she's, like, pleading her case and he just takes a little tiny bottle of holy water and just splashes it on her face. It just, like, melts her face. But she looks really gnarly. Like, yeah. They did a good job with that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're right. And he's like, yeah, I could have saved her.
And he's mad, and he says that, you know, maybe being controlled by the master is your punishment for kissing Tom. And she's like, you have never once had to fight for me in our marriage. I've always been here. And I think you have a problem with the fact that now you have to fight for me. And he goes, want to bet? And he just drives away without her. She ends up hitchhiking home, and when she gets there, she's looking for Jacob, who is holding a knife to his own throat, and the master is controlling him. She approaches and tells her that she's not who she was, and she's being dragged down by him, and forces him to do a non-deadly cut, which activates Anne, puts her in vamp mode, and she looks like she's about to, like, you know, gives the killing blow, but instead she kisses him, and they have... sexy vampire sex.
I was confused when I watched this because I thought that he actually cut his throat and I thought that she saved him somehow.
It was a little nick, so it wasn't like great.
Okay.
But it bled a lot and she smelled the blood and it kind of sent her crazy because she's like, you know, hungry.
Yeah. Well, this is the turn. Like, they fuck, they smoke some weed, and they're just having a good time. They're apologizing for the shit that they've done to each other.
You think we're gonna see them grow together as a couple and things are gonna be great, and we're feeling really optimistic that, you know, they'll find a new balance in their lives. They'll save Anne from wanting to drink blood all the time, and she'll still be empowered afterwards.
This is the turn though that I was talking about, where, like, you would think, like, everything is building up to them just like being like, there's a wedge in between them, and then, like, it's just gonna end up being them against each other.
Yeah,
but, like, it takes a turn here and they're like, okay, let's just fucking work together.
So they get a call, and it's somebody from their church, Maddie. She is dead. And Jacob's like, all right, thank you, Lord, for this bounty. And she's like, what?
Yeah, he's like, all right, eat up.
And they're taking her out to the car, and this little girl's out there. They're like, she did some laundry for us. She goes, nah, that's clearly her wrapped up in a blanket. And Anne goes, go inside. And she goes, only if you tell me a swear word. I love that Jacob goes, no.
Yeah.
And Anne goes, how's this? Fuck off. And she goes, I already know that one.
Yeah. This scene kind of felt forced to me. I don't know. I don't really like it.
It kind of makes me think of Julian in Halloween 2018.
A little bit. Without the charisma. That kid had charisma right there. This kid right here is like, I've already heard that one. And then neighbor next door also sees some stuff in the body in the trunk and calls the cops.
Sheriff Mike. There's his name. That's where I wrote it down. Jacob gets pulled over by Mike. I skipped this in my notes. They get home. Anne is going to collect the blood. So that way she has something to drink. Mm-hmm. And Jacob is going to go check the mill while it's like still dusk.
Yes.
So that's how they're split up. Jacob gets pulled over by Mike and Deputy Colton and gets arrested. They want to see what's in his suitcase. And he goes, I have to go see a dying person in the hospital. And those are my spies. Can I please go? And Mike's like, Deputy Colton actually is leaving his probation soon. And we need to test his skills. So.
Yeah. Also, the girl from Evan... I can't remember her name, but the girl that's skateboarding, that's a troubled youth.
Ellie.
Yeah, Ellie. She told the cops, like, yeah, the reason we're checking you out is because she said that you were there and you guys were attacked by vampires. So we need to just kind of, like, check your shit. And they're like, okay, can you pop the trunk? We really need to test it out. So they open up his box, and he's got a vampire slaying kit.
He's got Dracula. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay. And so they arrest him. Which is kind of weird, because I don't feel like he necessarily has anything super suspicious in there. But they do also have, like, the reports of him carrying the dead body.
See, that's the thing. Like, it could have been, like, she had a wild imagination with the vampire thing, and he's, like, pretending to be
she
a vampire slayer.
She does smoke the dupes.
Yeah, and he would have been, like, saying, hey, I'm a vampire slayer. That's why I'm killing this person, because, like, she's high and trying to trick her.
Listen, Buffy uses some of the lamest excuses to cover up her vampire slaying, and all of Sunnydale goes along with it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they're not buying it this time. Okay.
So Bob and Carol arrive for dinner that's been scheduled and was mentioned earlier in the movie. Carol made her lasagna. She didn't use spinach, though.
Spinach and lasagna sounds disgusting.
Oh, no, it's amazing.
Mm, okay.
With the right, like, seasoning and stuff, it's good.
Okay.
So they arrive and they see Anne draining Maddie of her blood.
Yeah.
No
she's
biggie.
Got her hung up like a fucking Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, yeah. So they call the cops. Carol's waiting outside for them and, you know, to see when they're coming. And Bob is like on the phone with the cops the whole time. And Carol at one point gets grabbed. So Bob goes out there to look for her. And outside, he goes outside to look for her. And he brings Anne with him because he doesn't want her to disappear, even though she's been a pretty like docile hostage thus far.
Yeah.
And outside they see Carol and she's dead / possessed. Bob gets bitten and the master tells Anne that she chooses who she turns with care. You know, the people that she actually wants to be with her are picked for a reason and everybody else is just a snack or a toy. And then she asks Anne, what do you want? It's your choice. Do you want to be powerful? Do you want to live forever? Do you want to go places you've never been? Or do you just want to continue being Jacob's wife? Hence the name of the movie.
Why you got to phrase it like that? Like just setting it up to be like, do you want to be like awesome and have all this shit? Or Jacob's wife?
Well, again, it's like the method of like drawing people into a cult.
No, I get it. I'm just saying it's just funny to phrase it that way.
But it is also a thing where a lot of times women are kind of defined by like their domestic relations as opposed to anything else in their lives.
Yeah.
Like if you have kids, you're a mother first.
Well, I feel like it kind of fits like with the name of the movie even like because he like always overpowers or overshadows any time that they're around each other. Like nobody probably even knows her name. They're like, oh yeah, and Jacob's wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jacob and his wife.
Yeah.
So the cops and Jacob arrive. Deputy Colton tries shooting at the master and is not prepared for how fast a vampire is, which is just amateur hour. No, like really.
He lights her up. She just gets back up and she's like, yeah, that doesn't work on me. I'm a vampire.
See, I thought that she just like ducked down really fast and like got back up.
No, you see it like actually go through her.
Okay. So, you know, they're still having this whole big climactic fight. And then Jacob comes up behind and stakes the master and says some, like, preachy shit. And then Anne is mad. She was like, that's not your choice. It wasn't your choice to make. And the sheriff turns to Colton and says, how are you going to write this one up? And Deputy Colton goes, domestic dispute, nonviolent.
Yeah, like, good call. Yeah.
And then Sheriff Mike tells Jacob, I don't care what you do, just resolve this by the morning.
I want to know what went down in the police car to where he convinced them, like, no, guys, for real, vampire shit's going down, trust me.
Well, I think probably what happened is they intercepted the call from the Fetter house.
That makes
and
sense.
So they're like, okay, cool, let's just go see what your wife's doing with a dead body, priest.
Yep.
Or minister. Sorry, he was very clear earlier on, he's not a priest.
Yeah, minister.
So she, the next morning, they're sitting there and she suggests selling the house and use that money to kind of travel. And he goes, and how do we find a cure? And she goes, well, we don't. I kind of like being strong and I think we can find a way to live like this. And he goes, but how do I trust you? And she goes, well, how do I trust you? And it cuts on like a very like 80s sitcom freeze frame where she's like, her teeth are starting to come out and he's getting ready to lift a stake and we cut to kitten playing.
I really like that ending.
Yeah.
Because it, like, uncertainty, like they, mm-hmm. neither of them trust each other.
The truth is there are sometimes just things that you can't come back from.
That's and true. And
things with their relationship had been boiling for a point and they, Jacob clearly hadn't realized it. And Anne hadn't said anything about it until it was too late. And yeah. It became too late in such a spectacular way that...
Spectacular is certainly a word for it. I also like how it just straight up confirms, like, yeah, that war about killing the master isn't really going to fly here. That's just movie bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't even touch on that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it ends.
It ends.
Just like that.
I still love it. I'm going to give it an 8. Like I said, I think it's got... a lot of layers to it. It's got some humor. It's got heart. I wish that they had the budget and non-COVID restraints to flesh it out even more. But I think they do a lot. And it doesn't feel like it's its full 98 minutes. It goes by very quickly.
It really does, yeah.
Which is kind of surprising because it doesn't feel like there's a ton happening necessarily.
There's really not. Yeah, like if you like put down on paper, like look at my notes here. This is like a short amount of notes I have. But like, I don't know, like... what happened, it just kind of happens like at a slower pace, but it doesn't make it uninteresting. Like it's just, I don't know, it's a nice movie. I like it a lot too. I'm keeping mine 7.5.
okay,
no, 7.75. I'll bump it up.
All right, and what would you change about it? By the way, our new average is 7.875.
okay. I mean, kind of like what I said before, I want to explore more of the vampire stuff because we got a lot of like the relationship dynamic here, which I think that's what the movie is mostly about. But I feel like there was a lot of like opportunities to have fun with it also. And they did have fun, but they could have had more fun if they had the budget. I just want this movie to have more money.
Yeah.
I wanted to have more resources because I feel like there was so much potential for it to be like absolutely. A bigger thing. And they did an amazing job with what they had, but they just... I don't know. They definitely had those limitations. If it were not made during COVID, I think it could have been a completely different type of movie, too.
Yeah.
Like, it could have lived up to what its full potential was.
I think, so I want to jump ahead to a sequel, because I know we threw out some fun ideas. I do kind of like the idea of maybe Jacob turning as well. And I think the idea of him building his own army is also him dealing with this new power dynamic in their relationship, where suddenly... she is speaking out a little bit more and she has gained like actual physical strength as well. So I think that would be an interesting continuation of the themes that have been explored in this movie.
See, yeah, I think that's because this one is about him dealing with the fact that she has newfound power that he has to like recognize and respect.
Mm-hmm.
And then that one right there is like him having to respect her as equals again. Like, take what he learned from the past and, like, apply it.
Yeah.
Which, it would be interesting to watch. I think that would be fun. I would like to see them just, like, they talk about vanishing and just traveling. I want to see that shit.
Yeah.
I want to see what type of adventure, because they have to keep killing people.
Yeah, I want to see the little buddy road trip. Maybe he becomes a street preacher.
It could be like how From Dusk Till Dawn started, with them just like going across the country, just like, you know, fucking shit up.
They wind up at the Titty Twister.
They wind up at the Titty Twister with Salma Hayek.
Absolutely.
And they're like, oh shoot, y'all can turn into snakes.
Yeah, and Anne is like, damn, you're a boss bitch. And Salma Hayek's like, fuck yeah, I know, but you're Barbara Crampton, so you're also a boss bitch. And then they're boss bitches together.
And then Jacob can bond with the priest dude.
Oh my God.
It would be a great tie-in. Yeah.
Amazing.
Just as that, but I also just like it being like its own standalone thing. I mean, just traveling along, like having to like learn how to live with each other with this newfound power and like newfound respect for each other.
Yeah, like a rebuilding of their relationship.
Yeah. I think that they have potential there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So Talia, she was pretty calm during this movie. She had a lot of respect for the drama that was unfolding on screen. She really appreciated that we had a vampire movie and no dogs were killed.
That is a good thing for her.
Yeah. So that was very, very exciting for her. However, we did also have throwing up on the carpet, and she knows that that's a problem.
Yeah.
So I think she's going to knock a point off for that. Okay. So I think she's going to give this a 7.5.
Okay. That's still a good, strong outing for Talia right there.
And Zoe spent the whole movie chilling on Lawrence Gordon, a shark bed. So clearly this was a hit for her as well.
I think she just liked the biting part because she likes to bite people.
She was like, that's how you show affection. She's like, I don't know why she's resisting the urge to bite Jacob if she loves him.
And the part where she gets sharp teeth, she's like, oh, I have those too.
She's like, same. Yeah. So she's like, am I a Barbara Crampton?
I'm going to go back outside and see Zoe in like a red dress.
Yeah, and she's like, meow.
Take me out to dinner.
Zoe would say that.
She would, yeah. And I would.
Okay, who did you relate to? There's not a ton to choose from, so we gotta think carefully.
There's not, and I guess I'm just gonna relate to Evan because skateboarding.
Which one's Evan?
Evan is Ellie's boyfriend.
Perhaps you mean Oscar.
Oscar. Why did I think his name was Evan?
I don't know.
He looks like an Evan.
I think maybe you're still thinking of Chester Bennett or whatever the fuck you called him, because that was his character's name in Saw 3D.
The only names I know for sure in this movie are Amelia, Jacob, and Anne.
There you go. Leave that pause in. I want everybody to know how long it took you.
It's in the fucking name of the movie, Jacob's wife. I couldn't even get it. Okay, Oscar is who I relate to. No. It's going to be
Ellie
because...
Because you also like to skateboard and would call the cops if you saw murder.
Exactly, yeah. Like, the skateboarding took me over. I tried skateboarding again as a late 20-year-old a few years ago, and goddamn, I'm not cut out for it anymore. I fucked my hand up hard.
I think I'm going to relate to Carol. Because I like spinach in my lasagna, but I don't always want to deal with putting spinach in the lasagna.
Okay, that's fair.
So,
all right.
So,
new tagline.
Oh, new tagline. We got to do that first.
It's not going to be hard for us to beat it, but then again, we've hyped ourselves up.
Yeah.
So we've shat on the taglines here.
In a corner here.
Jacob's wife.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy. I was going to say the life they've built together is at stake.
That's good too. See, both of those are way better than what either of the ones before had. See, okay. I like yours. Let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So now time for reviews.
Okay, so obviously because this is a movie that seeks to empower women, a lot of the negative reviews on IMDb were a bunch of neckbeards going, it's a feminist movie, and I don't like that.
Boo!
So, I had a hard time finding one that like actually
Go
talked about...
Go, Jacob!
I had a hard time finding something that actually talked about movie related things that they didn't like.
That's so upsetting that's like you have to like filter out all that bullshit. Yeah.
Okay, this is a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
Because
you had to go for a 5 for it to
be. Yes, because all the ones in these were like, listen, Barbara Crampton's hot, but like, why does she want to be heard?
Barbara Crampton's hot, but women do be shopping. 1 star out of 10.
Okay. I enjoyed it, enjoyed some of the concepts, and the camera work did have moments where it conveyed the building annoyance felt by Anne. Nobody is gorgeous or glamorous. Lie. And that helps give the film a more relatable feeling. A few scenes strike me as better fitting a horror comedy, but it wasn't too distracting. With a little polish, I think this could have been pretty good, maybe even great movie, but I still found it watchable as is.
Okay. I mean, I feel like it was like set out to be a horror comedy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't, you know, I mean, it did the thing that you critiqued it for there.
Yeah.
But I agree that
a bigger budget would give it more polish. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's pretty well polished mm-hmm. for what they had. Like, it looks nice. The cinematography is really good. They did a great job making Jacob, like, you feel that disgust that she has for him.
Yeah.
Like, I felt it. I was disgusted by him.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was so much more that they could have done with it, and it's a shame.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't really fault them for, like, that.
Budget and COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, I think if you're willing to accept a movie's constraints, it's pretty good for what it is. And I think, you know, the work people are able to do with a small budget can go pretty far. I think maybe they had some lofty expectations for what they wanted to do in terms of like set dressing and stuff. So like, it's noticeable how thin the crowd is. It's noticeable how few settings there are. Not in a way of like, oh, we're just kind of keeping it contained to their house, but in a way of like, you want the town to be more a part of it, but yeah. It couldn't be.
And I think that they really lucked out with the two people that they cast as the leads, because like, they fill some big shoes for such a short cast. The two of them together play off each other so well that I don't really have any issues with a small cast because of that.
And the interview that I read with Barbara Crampton earlier, actually, they even talked about like some of their dream casting if they got a huge budget, and it wasn't always necessarily going to definitively be Barbara Crampton as Anne Fetter.
Really?
Yeah, like she wanted to do it and she was happy to do it, but if they'd gotten a big part or a big budget,
name.
Yeah, and they, you know, throughout like Susan Sarandon, for example, she's like, I would have been happy to tell that story as well.
Okay,
so
I'm glad that she did this though, because yeah. I feel like she owned that shit. She did a great job.
I like, I'm such a huge Barbara Crampton fan, I'm a huge Bonnie Aarons fan, and I'm a big Larry Fessenden fan, so this was a hit cast for me. And I like that Bonnie Aarons got to like talk, and you could kind of see some of her face even though she was covered in Orlok.
Is she the nun?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
She's very good. She's got, like, a very good face for that type of stuff right
yeah.
there.
And she's got a presence, too.
She does, yeah.
Bonnie Aarons and Barbara Crampton are both boss bitches, and not using bitches in a derogatory way, but in a, like, fuck yeah. You go, bitch. Not a bitch eating crackers, but, like, you go, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Now, I know we have quite a few listener reviews for this quote-unquote obscure film.
Again, thank you guys for proving me wrong.
Thank you for proving him wrong.
I'm happy to be corrected, honestly, especially in the way that it was.
It was just so funny because we were sitting at the bar eating dinner last night, and I watched him write it up, and I was like, I won't say anything. He can write what he wants to write. And then we got home, and you were like, wow, a lot of people really like this movie. I was like,
no.
Yeah.
At the bar, as soon as I hit post, you went, ooh, obscure. Like, okay, yeah, I think it is. Like, it's a Shudder exclusive movie. It has a very limited audience.
I let you post it before I said anything, though.
I know, but you did say something. You didn't bite your tongue 100% until we got home and we saw the reception. Like, you're me, like, ooh, obscure. Okay, well, we do have a shit. Oh, my God, we have even more.
Yeah, they just kept coming in. If you don't hear your review, it's because of
God,
we're recording.
Okay, we had a lot come in while we were recording even. So, okay. I'll just read what I got here. We'll start out with our lone Instagram review.
Okay.
Which is from the Horror Fried Podcast.
Okay.
They say, Barbara Crampton is an actual queen.
Yes.
Period. Yeah. I just responded to them, preach. Yeah, man, she fucking kills it. She was perfect in this role. I'm glad that she did end up getting the part. I don't think I could see anybody else playing this other than her with how she did with it.
Yeah. No, she served.
Yeah. Okay, over on Twitter. So, our first review is from Wilson Gill. He posted his Letterboxd review.
Okay.
It says, brilliant direction from Stevens highlighted by arguably Barbara Crampton's best performance is a astounding take of an older minister's wife finding herself and demanding the recognition she deserves.
I think she pulls from years of experience in a very good and realistic way.
She probably did like take some like personal shit into this role right here, you know.
No, she definitely did.
Did she talk about that?
Yeah. Okay. I read all that at the beginning.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Okay, Stephen Cunningham. I'm sorry if it's coming across like I'm talking like I'm like Jacob. Like, oh, did you say that? Sorry, it's just sometimes I forget shit. I swear to God, I know
you forget stuff. That's why I was like teasing.
Okay. All right. Stephen Cunningham says it was one of my favorite movies of that year.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a pretty strong year for horror movies, too. 2021 was stellar. That's with Terrifier 2.
22 was what you're thinking of.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then 21 was pretty solid, too.
21, we didn't go to a ton of movies in theaters because of COVID. I think we saw Spiral in theaters.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think we
Halloween Kills.
And Halloween Kills. And I don't think we went to another movie until 2022.
No, but we watched this one.
Yeah, we watched this. It was on Shudder, though.
See, that was the thing. Yeah. We had a lot of like at home release premieres, which I thought was awesome too. Kevy Kev says, enjoyed it a lot. Barbara Crampton slayed.
Ha! Literally, I see what you did.
And figuratively. But yeah. She fucking killed it. Absolutely. In this movie. Tattooed Horror says, I thought it was great. Chris Creature says, one of my fave films from that year, and the soundtrack is incredible.
100% agree. I love the soundtrack.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about the soundtrack, but it did a great job of building the mood.
Yeah, every song they picked, I was like, this is correct, this is correct, this is correct. And again, the surprise of Kitten at the end, the first time we watched it, I like jumped up on the couch. Yeah, so.
It's a good credits song. Justin Helmer says, it's great. Barbara Crampton is, as always, a damn treasure. Larry Fessenden takes a character that could be very one-dimensional and plays him with real empathy. The last shot is a showstopper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they both carry this movie hard with, you know, it just being mostly them getting the screen time. And that ending shot is amazing. I love it so much.
Yeah, this movie would not be successful if they didn't perform the characters the way they did.
Yeah, exactly. And we have One Threads reviewed.
Okay. Yeah.
Leaves Cobwebs says, I thought it was great. Not only a clever twist on a vampire story, but it depicted a muddled aged woman coming into her power. Maybe it was middle-aged. It's muddled.
I think it was probably an autocorrect.
Yeah, probably. Middle-aged woman coming into her power.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's cool. It's a cool transformation. Like the whole thing. The whole process of her like discovering her powers and just like kind of owning shit is really entertaining.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right. So that's it for our listener reviews. Thank you guys so much for throwing those out there. We always appreciate getting those for these. Yes.
And I'm so glad to see a lot of love for this movie.
I am too.
I love this movie a lot. I dressed as Ann Fetter for Halloween one year. So I'll try and remember to post a picture.
Yeah, we got
to
post those because you killed it that year.
Yeah.
Even, Barbara Crampton and the director were like, oh my God, it's amazing.
I had a lot of fun with it.
Okay, so that's it for this week's episode, everybody. Right. Next week
is actually our Patreon voted one. Mm-hmm. And it's Would You Rather.
We have talked plenty about this movie in other movies, so now it's time for us to actually talk about it on the show, and I'm excited.
It is for free on Tubi, but you can also currently watch it on Hulu, AMC+, Sling TV, Prime, YouTube TV Premium, or you can rent it from YouTube or Google Play.
Absolutely watch it.
So it's a very good movie. It's got Jeffrey Combs. It's got Brittany Snow. Thank you. I wanted to say Brittany Murphy, and I knew that wasn't correct.
It's got Crabman from My Name is Earl. It has Ricky from Trailer Park Boys.
Not Ricky Spanish. No.
Rob Wells is his actual name.
Yeah, Rob Wells, which is not spelled the way you expect Wells to be spelled.
W-E-L-L-S?
I think it's got an extra E in there.
No, it doesn't.
Or maybe it's Rob that isn't. One of his names.
Rob is two B's, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I was going to say one of his names that should be a fairly straightforward name is not straightforward.
Fucking Canada, man. it's got a sneaky
They have
cast.
Universal healthcare. They can afford to throw extra names in there, extra letters in their name.
So yeah, you know, it's out there to be watched in some easily accessible areas. So we recommend watching that one because we love that movie and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, it's got Sasha Grey in it too.
Sasha Grey.
We didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
And a character named Travis,
who gets the terrible
shit
fate
kicked out of him.
Oh man, yeah.
So.
So yeah, watch that one. Yeah, it's gonna be a good time.
It'll leave you feeling sad.
Yes, it will.
What the point of it was.
It's a depressing movie, but we're gonna make it as fun as we can. We promise.
Yeah, we always do. We made Jacob's life a lot of fun, even though it's like a lot of sad stuff going on in it.
It's a lot of fun too, though.
That's true. It's got
some great fun moments in it.
Yeah,
it made it a little bit easier. Would you rather? It's a little bit more difficult to make fun.
But I think we can. I think we can do it.
If we made Martyrs fun, we can make Would You Rather fun. We can do this shit.
I believe Martyrs is where we originated the milk theory.
No, you've had the milk theory going since before we even had the podcast going.
Have I?
You have. I just remember we used that to confirm that they were indeed terrible people because of the milk scenario.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. So watch out. We
already plugged our Patreon, but we do want to go ahead and thank our patrons.
Yeah.
We've got Joe.
Freakatron.
As is his name. Amber, Michael, and a brand new patron this month, Lord Zombie. Yeah. Welcome to the Bubby crew.
Yeah, Bubbies. Yeah. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate the support you guys have.
If you want to support us in other non-financial ways, you can do so by whatever you're listening to the podcast on. You can follow us, rate us, and review us. You don't have to rate a full review if you don't want to, but you can follow and rate, and that helps us a lot. Tells the algorithms that we're worth listening to. Bow, 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 bow.
Yeah.
And then we also have a shit ton of social media that you can find us on because it's 2024 and that's what you have to do.
We are on Twitter at LeastFavePod. We are same handle on Blue Sky, or Blue Ski as Jesse likes to call it. We are on Threads and Instagram, Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast. And we have a website, whatsyourleastfavoritescarymovie.com. And if you would like to email us, we have that as well. It's leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com.
Indeed it is.
So we would like to thank you guys again for being here.
We appreciate you all.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun doing this. And I think some of the most fun that's come out of it is the interactions we've had with people just talking about movies.
Yeah, it's great. So we look forward
to it. We love horror. We love that other people love horror too.
Yeah. Thank you guys for being here. We will see you guys next week.
All right. Until then.
Bye.
Bye. I just, what's the word? Private. I don't remember my English. Okay. Cut this so my mom doesn't get mad at me.
Okay, that's a good reason.